Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Tuesday, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bosser. Both major Virginia utilities are dealing with extensive power outages after heavy storms Monday night. Dominion Energy still handling more than 23,000 outages in Virginia, 4,000 of them in Chesterfield County, where there were also reports of downed power lines and trees. Dominion is dealing with more than 4,000 in Albemarle County and 1,800 in Augusta County. Appalachian Power, meanwhile, says the city of Lynchburg still has more than 2,000 without power, along with more than 1,000 in Amherst County. APCO says the state of West Virginia still has more than 5,000 outages. The utility says outages peaked Monday night at just over 28,000. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has detained the head chef of a local Roanoke Valley restaurant, and the fallout has received a lot of attention on social media. The incident spotlights the restaurant industry's reliance on immigrant labor and how it looks during stepped-up enforcement under the Trump administration. Mason Adams has more.
Selvin Alfredo Ramos Perez, known as Gato, worked as head chef at Evie's Bistro and Bakery, as well as at another restaurant. Last week, he was arrested by Roanoke County Police and turned over to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Amelia Amon, second-generation owner of Evie, said Perez had worked there about 4 years and was well-loved.
We'll never be able to replace him.
The federal government has stepped up immigration enforcement over the last year and a half, and it's hitting the restaurant industry here in Virginia. Last year, another worker at Dino's restaurant in Floyd was detained, and the industry in Northern Virginia was rattled after Department of Homeland Security agents swept through nearly 200 D.C.-area restaurants. Tommy Herbert, Director of Government Affairs at the Virginia Restaurant, Lodging, and Travel Association, says the hospitality business can be grueling, and employers turn to immigrants when they can't find other workers.
Our industry, particularly the restaurant industry, is one of the most labor-intensive industries out there. We are, like many other industries, always looking for labor, and we think that our immigrant labor is certainly something that we're open to. It's obviously something that happens in the restaurant industry, and we just advise our members, obviously, to make sure that what you're doing is legal and responsible.
U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement issued a statement on Perez's detention, citing previous criminal offenses and saying he'd been removed from the U.S. twice previously, in 2011 and 2017. In Roanoke, I'm Mason Adams.
Virginia's correctional system has been starting more programs to incentivize positive behavior.
This allows me to become part of the solution and not just an observer or somebody experiencing the problem.
But incarcerated people say it doesn't address all the problems in the system. Sandy Hausman reports on what's changing and what's left undone. Her story's up in a little while. Virginia has logged 177 measles cases so far this year. As kids are heading back to school, kindergartners' vaccination rates are below what's needed to establish herd immunity in many counties, as Christine Cuter reports.
6-year-old Naomi starts school this week.
I'm kind of nervous, but really excited and really nervous.
Nearly 9 in 10 of Virginia's measles cases so far this year occurred in the middle part of the state. In Albemarle County, where Naomi lives, fewer than 90% of kindergartners got the MMR vaccine. Naomi is fully vaccinated against measles. Her mom, Claire Payton, got Naomi's 3-year-old sister, Lena, the second measles shot early.
Because we sort of saw this coming on the horizon, and we just wanted our kids to be safe.
In Albemarle, Amherst, Bedford, Greene, Madison, and Rockingham counties, between 81 and 89% of kindergartners are fully vaccinated against measles, rates that fall below the 95% threshold needed to establish herd immunity. To understand how that works, picture 100 sheep in a pen.
And one of those sheep, unfortunately, has measles. If you imagine 95% of the sheep are immunized against measles, if you're imagining the immunized ones kind of surrounding the one that actually has the disease.
That's UVA nurse practitioner and professor Jessica Kime-Malpas, who cares for kids with cancer.
95 immunized sheep would kind of offer as a buffer to those who maybe, like my patient, can't get immunized, or that baby that is 6 months old that cannot get immunized yet. When that number drops below that threshold, there's less of that buffer.
Anyone in Virginia who needs vaccines or information about them can contact their local health department. Reporting from Albemarle County, I'm Christine Cuter.
State regulators are considering a proposed sale of Dominion Energy to a Florida company. Michael Pope tells us that deal has opposition.
Congressman Eugene Vindman is a Democrat from Woodbridge who is saying thanks but no thanks to the Florida company that's trying to buy Dominion Energy. He says he's looked into the numbers and he's concluded that Florida-based NextEra will increase their profits on the backs of his constituents in the 7th Congressional District.
Monthly energy bills are often one of the most expensive, highest expenses that people pay monthly. And this merger would undoubtedly raise rates, at least if you consider what NextEra says about it, for families across the Commonwealth. So I think it's a bad deal, and I'm against it.
So that's one congressman in opposition to the deal, maybe the first elected official to announce a definitive position on the merger. When asked if she supports the proposed merger between Dominion and NextEra, this is how Lieutenant Governor Ghazala Hashmi answers the question.
I can't say that I have the capacity to answer that question right now. You know, I sent the SEC a list of 64 questions that I think are really necessary for us to get some answers on.
Those 64 questions are about goals of the transaction, terms of the deal, and NextEra's acquisition attempts in other states. So far, they remain unanswered, and Hashmi is calling for a special session of the General Assembly to extend the deadline for regulators to make a decision about the acquisition. I'm Michael Pope.
Lieutenant Governor Ghazala Hashmi is launching a statewide energy cost listening tour, giving Virginians a chance to weigh in on the proposed Dominion NextEra energy takeover. According to a release from her office, the tour will stop in Loudoun County, Hampton Roads, Richmond, Charlottesville, and Roanoke. The goal is to bring experts and community voices together to discuss what the deal could mean for utility bills and Virginia's energy future. A group of hemp retailers is suing Virginia over new THC rules approved by state lawmakers. The state recently enacted a law to establish a retail marijuana marketplace in Virginia next year. But another change included in the legislation gives retailers until Saturday to remove any consumable product that contains more than 2 milligrams of THC per package. In their lawsuit, the retailers say removing those items will cause a substantial loss of future revenue. They're asking for an injunction to stop implementation of the new rule while their lawsuit makes its way through the court system. Last month, the governor held a news conference to announce formation of a committee to advise the Department of Corrections on how to improve our prisons. Members will include reform advocates, religious leaders, experts on health care, and public safety. Some formerly incarcerated people will also be appointed, but current prisoners will not join the conversation. Sandy Houseman spoke with some of them about ongoing problems behind bars.
Shabree Dillon has spent a decade in state prison for real estate fraud, a first offense for which she was sentenced to 30 years. Now at the Goochland Correctional Center for Women, she's excited to be part of a program that trains prisoners to demonstrate leadership and help other inmates make better choices.
This allows me to become part of the solution and not just an observer or somebody experiencing the problem. When I leave this earth, I got to stand before God for all my time, both inside of prison and outside. And this is something that is making a difference and that I feel really good about.
Prisons, she says, dehumanize people. At Goochland, for example, women who maintain the grounds or go to medical appointments in Charlottesville must submit to strip searches each time they leave and return.
And these are not just searches where you pull your clothes off, you shake them out, and you put your clothes back on. Like, it's a visual body cavity search. It's just demeaning and humiliating, and for me, I have trauma in that area, so it takes me to a place that is not healthy for me.
In a written response, the Department of Corrections says it must search for contraband, and this process is standard practice, important to institutional security. Dillon also complains about restrictions on visitation. Her four children, for example, cannot visit as a group. The limit is 3, and someone has to wait in the car. There are also restrictions for prisoners.
You're not allowed to use the bathroom. They will offer your visitor a water bottle but leave you thirsty, and your visitor desperately wants to share but cannot.
The Department of Corrections says water fountains or coolers are available for prisoners. Vending machines, however, are off limits.
You know, and there's something to be said about the human companionship of sharing a meal, even if it is a microwave meal or a honey bun or, you know what I mean? There's something to be said about breaking bread with the people you love. People in visitation feel robbed of that. Also, people don't bring kids as much because food is a good way to occupy little ones.
And she reports the visiting area can be hot in the summer. So, too, are other parts of the prison.
You know, these buildings were built in the 30s, so these systems are inadequate. So literally every summer it's an issue. The air is breaking down And every winter, it's an issue. The heat is breaking down.
Extreme heat is also a problem at 7 prisons that have no air conditioning. Among them, the Buckingham Correctional Center, a model facility where Tim Wright is serving a life sentence. Like Dylan, he's unhappy with visitation policy because Buckingham requires inmates to put on special jumpsuits and underwear that have been laundered but worn by other prisoners.
We're the only VA model that does not get to wear our own underclothes to visitation.
Wright is a veteran who served in the Marines and was wounded in battle. He still suffers back pain and other medical problems, but when the state did its annual review, it concluded he did not need many of the pharmaceuticals he was taking.
It took me 5 months to get everything back because they refused to look at my physical medical files from 18 years in prison. They only wanted to look at the last 6 months electronic file that I had been at Buckingham.
Even now, he reports, the prison runs out of his medications. And he adds he's not alone.
The guy downstairs had 8 heart attacks, 12 stents. He's on nitroglycerin, blood thinners, blood pressure medication, so he doesn't have another heart attack. And they let him run out.
Finally, inmates are supposed to see a doctor within 2 weeks of a request, but they say it can take more than a month at Buckingham. In part two of our series, we'll visit another model prison where those who never break the rules are given better food, more comfortable beds, and the chance to take many different courses. Despite those perks, prisoners report problems. I'm Sandy Houseman.
We're expecting a few stormy days ahead in our forecast. Scattered showers and storms, especially by the afternoon and evening today. Strong to severe storms are possible. Breezy conditions, highs in the mid-80s in the western mountains to low 90s for Roanoke, Charlottesville, and Richmond. Showers and storms continue overnight. Temperatures fall to the upper 60s and low 70s. Wednesday, partly sunny. Another chance for some showers and storms, especially along the western fringe of the state. Highs in the upper 80s and low 90s for most. Hot and sticky on Thursday with highs in the low 90s for most, mid-80s in the far southwest, with afternoon showers and storms again possible. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.